We are reading in Kabbalah for the Students, page 264, the piece, Bala Sulam, under the title Necessity to Practice Caution with the Laws of Nature. Questions can be sent to kab.tv and will be asked throughout the lesson.
Well, this is a very important part because he explained to us in what state we are. What? Who is organizing that state for us? Who is calibrating us, preparing us, and prepare for us a certain singular action only, the right one, for us to do, and should we do it, then we will succeed. Hence, on the one hand, there is nature here, as if everything is predetermined. You are in a rigid system that works upon you, hold you, handicapped, tied from all sides. You have no freedom to even move a millimeter away. Rather, every time you're moving, you are shaking the system, and it responds to you immediately in accordance. Yes? That's it. And if you understand that, then you respond correctly. Say we are in a, maybe I can't describe it in in a subtle manner, but let's say I'm naked, I'm standing, and from all sides, next to my skin, there are needles. Needles all around me. I can't move even a slight motion. Maybe move my eyes a bit. Maybe. Let's say. Not more than that. I'm entirely with needles. Maybe this is how you can describe to some extent what nature's laws means when they engulf us. Now, the question is, what does it mean, the caution with the laws of nature? Had I felt those laws? And indeed, this is how it is, even much more than that, because in the mind and the heart and all those things, and I need to discern where nature is and where maybe some free choice remains for me, something that is outside of nature. Is there anything beside that? If there's something beside that, well, this is where I am. Is there such thing or not? How could there be anything beside me? However, with everything else, I'm really everywhere around my body, internal, external, emotional, no matter what, I'm with needles, can't move even, pins. So to scrutinize, what could it be beside nature? How could it be that nature have left anything for a creature, one of his creatures called Adam, so that he would be able to some extent be free from it? How could it even be according to the laws? As we learn that the entire universe is all laws and laws and laws, everywhere laws are operating. Yes, we are in within a system that is entirely connected to one another, and we're discovering more and more day by day how integral it is, and there's no freedom in it. How come there is anything that is outside these rules, these laws? And this is a great problem. Who is he who is outside of those laws? First of all, obviously, it's not our body, because our body, well, we are a beast. We can study our body in a very clear fashion. We're still lacking knowledge, obviously, but to know all its laws and then observe it or maintain it correctly. Well, there's nothing to it. Rather, here's the question. Are we all under nature's orders? Totally? Well, then it doesn't matter if I know about it or not. I'll live whichever way I live, and that's it. or if there is an element of discovering something, even a slight grain that is free, well, this is a wonder. Where is it, why is it free for? How nature made something that within it will have a freedom, freedom from him, that he restricted himself away from that point and he doesn't disturb in that area. And then what is there in that area that on behalf of nature is restricted, is as if vacant, and the same creature being is there, not under the influence, of nature, say. And then who is he? Does he have laws? Does he have his own nature? Does he behave according to something? Meaning there are many things here that need to be established. There's many Spinoza and Kant dealt with it among the philosophers. Beside them, I don't see any, if there are any philosophers. All the rest is. So, let's see what he writes. In short, not to see the problem as a Plains problem. Beside that, it belongs to us in a manner that we, as those who are asking about our own lives. So this is the point, not that our life is are evolving in a deterministic manner like the animals and creatures, that with them also there are incidents or not, or it's all pre-planned, or beside this life we have something extra. All right, read.
We can all plainly see that human species must lead a social life, meaning it cannot exist and sustain itself without the help of others. Therefore, imagine an event where one retires from society to a desolate location and lives there a life of misery and great pain due to his inability to provide for his needs. That person would have no right to complain about providence or his fate. And if that person were to do that, meaning complain and curse his better fate, he would only be displaying his stupidity. This is because while Providence has prepared for him a comfortable, desirable place in society, he has no justification to retire from it to a desolate place. Such a person must not be pitied, since he is going against the nature of creation, and since he has the option to live as Providence has ordered him, he should not be pitied. That sentence is agreed upon by all of humanity without dispute. And I can add and establish it on a religious basis and give it such a form, since Providence extends from the Creator, who undoubtedly has a purpose in his actions. Since there is no act without a purpose, we find that anyone who breaks the law from the laws of nature that he has imprinted in us corrupts the purposeful aim. Because the purpose is undoubtedly built over all the laws of nature, none excluded, just as the cleaver works would not add or subtract even a hair's breadth of the necessary actions to attain the goal. He who alters even a single law harms and damages the purposeful aim that the Creator has set, and will therefore be punished by nature. Hence, we too, creatures of the Creator, must not pity him, because he is desecrating the laws of nature and defiles the purpose of the Creator. That, I believe, is the form of the sentence.
Do you agree with it? Questions? Meaning, there are laws of nature the laws of nature, and he who doesn't know it doesn't mean he allowed to say whatever he feels like. Rather, each and every one must know nature's laws and observe them. If he doesn't observe it, he causes harm to himself and to others, because we're all interconnected according to that system of nature, and we have a problem. What should we do with the same person who violates these laws and thus causes harm indirectly or even in a direct fashion? And what are we to do? Well, to learn nature's laws. If we are within these laws, we can't do whatever we feel like. Rather, each and every moment we are seemingly in violation of the law, and then there's a problem. And prior to a person enter life, he must be taught these laws. Meaning, the moment he grows, and the more he enters life independently, we need every time, in each and every year, as he grows, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, according to his age, we need to provide him the knowledge of our nature's laws, how to behave correctly, in accordance with his development, so that he'll be balanced. Mind and heart, bad and good, for him to know how to behave correctly and not to harm himself and others. This is what is called integral education. For him to know that he's within that integrality of nature, that he's within a ball, a sphere that is entirely within laws, within tied with shackles to one another. And should he violate those laws, then he owes, not only for himself, rather to the same extent that he harmed everyone. And obviously, if everyone is connected to everyone, then he harmed everyone. He harmed, therefore, others. Hence, he must receive a punishment in accordance with the extent, to the extent that he harmed the entire system. This is, as a matter of fact, the laws and sentences that are in the Torah, that should we study it in its true fashion, we will understand through them the system, and through the system we'll get to know the Creator. And should we not get to know, the system would nevertheless, as if be corrupted by our wrongdoings, and will necessitate us to know it, however, through the path of suffering. And the path of suffering is a very harsh path, because if I'm doing a little scene that seems to me very simple, and I'm only doing it with respect to me, I don't feel to what extent I get the whole system out of balance negatively, and then it all come back to me many folds over. So I'm shaking the system 10 grams, but I'm causing that that imbalance in the whole system, and then the system is moved, is getting imbalanced by millions of tons of according to distance, because this is how it works in an integral system. Sometimes it sounds as if we are saying the particular and the general are equal, or individual and the public, as indeed there is equal way to both of them, and it is awful. So now we aren't entering that law, the particular and the general are equal, because we are not yet in the height of the integral system. We are allowed to enter it as if we are not there yet, as if there's a clutch. Yes? How to say it in Hebrew? It's a clutch. That I'm attaching myself to 125 degrees more and more and more and more to that same system. Not at once, rather. Although in truth, I'm there in my total form. However, in my understanding and awareness, I'm given like a child. You can enter that system gradually, yes? But know as you're entering, whether you want it or not. And then, when I'm reaching it, The laws for a penny is for 100, the particular and the general are equal. I did a little mistake. It's as if the whole system made a mistake. There's no here as if, I just did something smaller. No such thing. In an integral system, the laws are terrible. These are laws that I can't say, what do you guys want from me? I'm just there on the side. What do you want from me? Nothing like that. You are the most important element in the system, and like the entire system. This is what is called he who is merited. He tip himself and the whole world for a scale of merit. Had he committed a sin, then he determined himself and the whole world to the scale of demerit. What is the whole world? Well, why the whole world is in the because of me or in credit because of me? Well, this is the system. Hence, when he says about the necessity of the cautious practicing caution with the laws of nature, he still doesn't even explain to us what is the degree of caution. Hence, what we are facing now, the entire humanity, and especially the people of Israel, that must explain that to the whole world, are very unpleasant or non-simple states, should we not be able to bring that system to the world.
Niv.
Alex from Khadera is asking, is the intention that we're dealing with the laws of nature or every single person? After all, the 99% don't recognize these laws.
Again, so each and every one receive an opportunity to influence the system through that clutch according to his degree. We have, well, hence, from above downwards, a system of the diminishment of the lights was created, the system of concealments, of concealing. It's that same clutch that you are pressing the brakes and the pedal, and then gradually you're releasing it. This is what it means that you're ascending up to Ein Sof. You bring the whole system into the total action. However, you could be a quarter or halfway through, and then your connection with the engine is in accordance. Yes?
How can those who don't feel the system diminish the damage they're doing? That's what they're asking.
Well, at least diminish the damage. Bringing benefit, they're not asking us yet. All right, that's also good. Well, first of all, I'm afraid not to be beaten, not to be to receive the blows. I'm getting profits, that's later. All right, so what to do? Nevertheless, one needs to know the system. The mitzvot is, now maybe you'd understand it. These are precepts of do not do. Yeah, mitzvot, not to do. How can I guard myself not to receive the beatings, the blows? This is like the delighted in mercy in the forest. I don't have even a shirt. Leave me alone. I don't touch anyone. As if I don't exist. Don't exist, that's not enough. Don't exist means that I'm participating in all the actions. However, you're activating me because I'm part of a system. Delighted in mercy, he is only not active on his own part. He's not connecting this clutch to his own engine, but he's spinning, like, say, the fifth cogwheel along with everyone else. I'm with you guys. This is called the precepts, mitzvot of do not do, 248. Yes, delighted in mercy or incomplete righteous. And later on, I also bring in my energy. I attach my engine to the general cogwheels. Yes, I add to them for my own part. This is already me working with receiving in order to bestow, called sins, transgressions, and the whole thing. They are the entire picture. Yes?
From the education lesson, we're asked, what if my intention was not to cause damage? Can it still cause negative influence on the system?
It not depends upon his intention. Well, if he's not intending to cause damage, it is called transgressions. This is precisely about that correction that we are talking. If he intended to cause damage, meaning to profit on the expense of others, this is called sins. How come? What is the difference between sins and transgressions? Well, let's say I want to receive something before you in some place. This is called sin or transgression. Transgression. But I haven't thought about him. You haven't thought about him, correct, but you know that if you receive before him, maybe he won't have any left. So is it a sin or transgression? Meaning there are very severe aspects here. Yes. Are you as the judge or as the lawyer? A defense?
Neither. He's using terminology here of punishment. That's why I'm asking.
Do I not know where you're taking us? Oh. All right.
Now we're talking about a system of integral laws. Well, for example, if I take the law of gravity, if I jump off a building, I will just fall down. Whether I mean it or not, I will fall down.
Meaning falling itself is the punishment?
It's not a punishment. It's simply the law.
Oh, that's a question. This is because you're taking things just like you see it. Maybe I don't need to fall. To be suspended in the air, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't need to accept this thought of falling. Where do I get it from? And if I'm falling, also how am I falling? And besides, when I'm falling, do I not deserve a punishment because by that I cut my connection that could be the right connection with others? Why is it prohibited to commit suicide?
That's already in action. I'm talking about from the system. I don't understand why it's called a punishment, because punishment requires a certain degree of awareness.
Why? Depends what you're calling punishment. A beast that suffers. Is it reward, punishment, or just awareness, non-awareness? I'm not understanding. What is it that you're saying?
An action in spirituality is intention, right?
Yes.
If I act towards the property of bestowal, then I'm doing something right. If I'm doing it towards the direction of towards reception, towards myself, then I'm doing something wrong, right? Those are the right or the wrong actions, the intentions.
Intentions.
In spirituality, this is how it works, right? Now, it's saying if one degrades or corrupts one law, what is it called to corrupt
one law? Not connected to the whole system.
But in advance, he can't be connected to this. We're born with the desire to receive.
Hold on. We are doing an action to be under the influence of the environment, so it would force you to be closer to the system, more connected to the system. This is your free choice through the environment, through the education you're receiving from the group, pressure, envy, jealousy, honor. You're giving all those means in order to come to a state that you'd desire to connect, and by that you'll cause a good action, and your little action would cause a big echo throughout the reverberation through the system of the souls, and this is the reward. It is called tipping ones for scale of merit.
We're born with the evil inclination, right? The desire to receive, and then I have the ability to correct, right?
Right.
So if I was born with the evil inclination, why am I punished for something like this?
There is no punishment.
So why is he using terminology of punishment? There's actions that if you do this, you'll have, this, have the result X, or if you do the otherwise, you'll do result Y.
But you're feeling it like that. You're thinking like that.
But this is a subjective feeling.
I know, I understand, but reward and punishment are... You can interpret them on the degrees of this world, meaning with respect to the ego, and you can interpret it with respect to the desire to receive, to bestow, rather. Nevertheless, it is reward and punishment. The question is as follows. When I deserve kind of... I understand, but I just find it difficult to say. How can we describe the punishment? You are... well, that's a problem. The problem is that you are describing the system as a rigid, determined, predetermined system without free choice that has nothing but one law that operates without even an area where there is a question mark. Respect to which, meaning this question mark, there is a question of reward and punishment. You are saying iron shackles tie all the parts of reality together. Throughout the entire world, one general law works. No one enter, no one exit, no one move, everything tied, everything set. Now, the question is, is there room here for reward and punishment? There isn't. I'm saying the following. Everything you've depicted, other than one thing, there is kind of a middle point where there is freedom. What is that freedom? In that middle point are coming all the force, all the good forces and the bad forces that are in contrast, that receive, bestow, and reception equally. And then there's kind of a vacant space, yes? There, we say one versus the other, and there's like between heaven and earth, that point is there in such way. No, what will you do with that in that point? Question, how would you do and how would you be able to get involved with it? But whatever you'll do in that point, for that you receive either reward or punishment. Everything else, the system is totally predetermined. Yes. This point is called middle third of Tiferet, Klipat Noga, Noga's shells. The cutoff point between Galgal Tainaim and Achab, this is where that point is.
And I remember we studied once, at least I heard it like that, that this point, you need to be in attainment to reach it.
This point, yes. It is Bala Silam explaining a bit in Beit Shah, Kavanot, House of the Gate of Intentions. It's a very profound point. It's as if you are cutting into a higher dimension. And all the other things, as if you're letting go. The corporeality and the ordinary spirituality and entering extra precision. It's like a space leap.
Meaning this whole matter of reward and punishment for the moment, until we reach a certain attainment, we shouldn't relate to it at this point.
No, all the things of reward and punishment of which we are talking prior to prior to us locating that point, that white stain, right? All that we are doing is only studying, receiving education like a little child prior to coming to adolescence, to maturity. Maturity means that he's been through all that system, he learned all its laws, and now he learned how to use or establish that system for that point, because specifically in that point he determines his independence, his individuality. I didn't want to enter it that much because it's a bit difficult, but Morris, good. First of all, blessings.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, World Glee, and all that woke up early and heard Zvika. So first, a small introduction. I sat and listened in with great patience, and these are some of the things I absorbed in the lesson yesterday. Usually I don't write down because I just prefer to just be impressed and feel the flow of what Rav is teaching and what the friends are talking. So I wrote a few things for me yesterday, and I'm trying to internalize them. One of them was that in order to bestow, you need to come to wholeness. This is one of the things I wrote for myself. Another thing was that the Torah teaches us about the contacts, the connections between us, and that we should never negate any attribute because it has a destiny, it has a essence, and we need to learn it in order to understand the proceedings. And these are some of the things that I summarized from your lesson, Rav. And now to my topic. I see these huge friends. The path for different friends is a little different. There are those who want to attain fast in a hastened manner, and there's those that they're really burning and they just want to see everything before their eyes, and there are those that do it a little slower. There are those that are on the path and they know they're not putting time in front of them, but they're doing a step here and another step and another step. And I learned how to be much more patient from you. I used to be very impatient, and it was really difficult for me to accept others that were not like me. So there are things that I feel there's a change in me, and I'm certain that also in these huge friends that are investing so much here, and therefore I'm trying to be as much as possible here, as much as I can. But probably we also have to internalize that we need to be patient also towards the time of attainment. And the fact that there are friends that have been here for 18 years, I can only be filled with appreciation. Huge appreciation that they've been here for 18 years, and to present it in a positive manner. Not that they've been here for 20 years and didn't see the final attainment.
Baal HaSulam writes that even 20 and 30 years one need to be in it, you know, before attaining.
Moreover, I remember in one of your lessons that the entrance to the spiritual world is the easier part, that over there the more serious work comes.
No, but the entrance itself is difficult. The transition, it is the harshest, the hardest. It really is a birth. Everything else is hard in its own right, but there it's all more of an adventure.
Now, I wanted to mention that once you said that we should start doing dissemination and enter the Facebook, so many friends from abroad, and I want to tell this to everyone here, are asking us that we should support so that people could come to the convention. So this is not towards me, this is to the Be'er Sheva group and the Petah Tikva group, and we need to think about them because there's a huge deficiency, and we see them around on the screens. And what I want to say is that actually this deficiency for what we have is huge. Let's just look at what we have. Every day we have a new lesson in which we can internalize. Yesterday I heard about the new energy which exists in the universe, and that it's about to be the Nefesh Tekdusha, that small energy which gives us the livelihood. So to know about the greatness of the Creator every day we discover, and as our ears are now, with your permission, Rav, there, in the article there's the matter of if we harm one law, then nature punishes in a direct manner. It's like reward and punishment works on all of humanity, and also we need to not reject this, but to justify this. But the matter is, our thing is about connection. So what laws are we talking about other than connection?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you are touching even one law, all the laws are interconnected. By that, you are moving the whole system. You drive it crazy, totally. It doesn't matter. It could be you think that, oh, what did I do? I just did the... First of all, how can you cross nature's laws or commit a sin with respect to nature's law? What does it mean, crossing nature's laws? I lift a block of 20 tons, and then all of a sudden it falls on the ground. By that, did I break the law? Well, I didn't make the right calculation with the cable when I lift that block, and that cable tears and that block fell. Well, the law maintained is the law. What is there? Have I corrupted the law itself? Well, just as it was, it maintained, and I only did this action, meaning I made certain damage by myself. Meaning, what does it mean that I am harming nature's law? It is under the condition that I can bestow or affect a certain law itself, and then it appears as if corrupted after me affecting it, and then it's already affecting in a corrupted manner further. So you understand, how could it be that I'm corrupting a law or harming a law? Just get that. We are not talking of laws of our world. I cannot corrupt them. If I discovered a formula there, a certain in physics, chemistry, or thermodynamic, or no matter what, so does that mean that I, well, and I can use it correctly or incorrectly? The law nevertheless exists. The fact that I see for my action a bad consequence or result, it means that I don't know how to use this law. But the law itself exists, right? What does it mean that I harm the law? It means that there is a certain ability in me to enter those laws. We aren't talking about animalistic laws, the still vegetative and animate, that we live in this world through still vegetative and animate, and that there's nothing I can do. Rather, there are laws of the next degree, a higher degree, different degree, whereby there I can enter and I'm affecting the laws themselves, and then I am manipulating them or twisting them. This is what it means, caution with nature's law. It's not like Zvika asks, well, all right, so you do bad, you receive a punishment, you do good, you receive a reward. Much more than that. Meaning, I can, by myself, to change creation. We are not yet understanding to what dimension we are entering. You are turning to be as the creator. You can determine what will the connection be between the lights and the vessels. What does it mean between the lights and vessels? And say gravity. I don't want it to exist, to maintain in such way. Rather, I want it to be realized in a different way, to have a different coefficient, extra ones in the formula. Yeah? So that it won't be times square, rather, for it be time 15. It's like that. As if, right? So we don't understand what is happening here. It is much more than what is happening. Along with it, there is a set and cross laws, etc., many things. But let's take it. I don't want to get into it. I just open up a bit, just a little breakthrough for you guys. But let's continue. Oy, oy, oy. We won't manage. We aren't advancing. Yes.
Thank you very much, Rav. In order to advance to this law, there's a woman force, and in 9 days there will be the first big women convention. And I want to emphasize that this is the most, this is as important as, I want to feel that this is as important as the desert convention, which is coming after that.
So the question was, what do I need to do about it? What you need to do about it is not as important to me as what we need to do about it. We have a very strong, dedicated kli. Very, I would say, even very, very powerful. It is the women's vessel. Women throughout the world, they are doing a congress. We must help them with everything, due to knowing that without their help, we won't advance. There must be together men and women involved in this preparation to help them as much as possible to serve in order to prepare the Congress and during the time of the Congress to sit with the, to mind the kids, to release them and do all kind of activities around the Congress so that we release them in anything possible with all the efforts to do their spiritual work. Regretfully, I hear that we still have groups whom are in a lack of equality among men and women. I'm not talking about where we set the starting time or things like that, but I'm talking about disrespect. It must not exist. On the contrary, we have to honor the women part as an important part, as the most central part of creation, the nukva's share that must show itself, although in modesty, nevertheless, must be felt within our kli. Hence, this is the entire problem of the world, that on the one hand, there are people who won't even allow women to appear whatsoever, and she has to be there in the kitchen, and there are those who are the opposite. Until you make me equal to you in each and everything, and whatever, which is in that exaggerated way, in American ways. So neither this nor that. We need a compensation, the right, pleasant compensation due to knowing nature's laws, that we will complement one another, or compensate for one another, that indeed men and women would work in harmony among them, not in mingling, rather in harmony. I'm regretfully here that there are groups like we see now on the screen also here, yeah? Where they disrespect women. And they shouldn't say that this is how it is customary in our country. That's not good. We need to show a different example through honor, appreciation, and participation. And also here in the Congress, we need to do all the actions so that the feminine kli would come closer to us and would be inseparable part in attaining the common goal for the whole of humanity. So everyone who finds fit, how can he participate in it, must participate. That's beside his problems. They would have to look after the kids at home, maybe we'll have to do certain duties in our center or in all kind of places, in the preparation jobs there, installation prior to the Congress, and work afterwards, and dismantling. Nevertheless, do everything, and I'm really honoring all the women who are coming from far and also from all over Israel, and I'm also inviting. Just the list is soon would be closed because the place itself is limited. So call immediately and reserve a place for you. And the more you'll come, the more of you that will come, the better it will be. I'll be very happy to be with you throughout the entire day, as much as you want, and for us to have indeed a wonderful Congress, a beautiful Congress. Yes.
There's a question here from Galil Golan Group with the Young Group and Friends from the World Cli, if we can see them now. The Young Group from the World Cli have come to the Galil Group, and they're together right now in the lesson. They're going to be visiting in all the places where the Zohar authors and Kabbalists and Sfat were. And we wanted to ask this question. How can we benefit the maximal benefit from this gathering and connection between us, so we will bring us closer to the goal?
Well, what a pity. I would join them too. what can we do? Well, they are together with us, so what's the problem? We are... they should do anything possible. It is good that they're doing a trip to those special places where the masters of the Zohar, and in general in the Galilee there near the Mount Meron, very beautiful things there, very inspiring things, moving. And later on we'll hope to see them in 2 weeks' time in our Congress. I'm hoping, I heard the many friends of ours from all over are coming, also men, not just women, who are coming to their Congress. And also the women who are coming and remaining or staying over till the men Congress be in our center here, where the women will be here in parallel. So we are well done. We are glad that it is happening this way, and the more the merrier. We'll be together. Holon Center.
Good morning. What actions can I do truly towards the men convention, in continuance to the things that were said, to truly connect, to adhere, to create this network of Arvut between friends? What can we give now, right now, one more effort?
We can't continue now, but we'll talk about it both during the Shabbat and also next week, both with respect to also with respect to the Women's Congress. We need to do actions. We are lacking further preparation for our Congress, the Men's Congress. We're lacking preparation, but now I'm asking everyone to be tuned towards the Women's Congress. And I'm turning to the men. Help and be really with heart and soul supporting it, because this is the half, at least half, if not more, of our Kli. The truth is all our luck, all our desires coming to us from the women. Should we develop it? Should we support it and breed it? Would we have the right support for attaining the goal? Hence, do not let go of it. Do not disrespect. On the contrary, raise them, both for our group and all the groups that I see on the screens. I'm turning. And again, I'm warning you guys. I'm warning you guys. You need to be more and more sensitive, attuned to connecting women towards that move, towards chibur, towards unity.
Three announcements for an end. A new experience called Kabbalah next Tuesday, a new way. At 7 o'clock, we're going to have a workshop together with Rav Lightman as an experience called Kabbalah. It will be all over the Kabbalah centers all over Israel and the world, and will be broadcasted on Kam.tv. The convention in the Arava 2013, A Flame in the Desert. Dear friends, 17th to 19th of January, we're going to have a convention. Pay attention. Registration will be closing next week in order to be prepared for the convention appropriately. So do it as early as possible. Women convention, one global woman. Towards the Arava convention, we're inviting all our women to a first in history convention next Sunday, January 13th at 12 o'clock, and we're going to move to a short clip on the event. In one place, in one heart, with a powerful desire more than anything, something is huge is about to happen truly. For the first time in history, women from all over the world are uniting. A women convention, one global woman. We invite you too. Sunday, January 13th, from 12 o'clock in the afternoon, Ganat Arucha Tel Aviv. For details, kab.co.il or
1-700-509-209. פתאום רואים ואם ההר עוטף אותך בצל אתה לבד טועה בערפל תיתן לי יד ביחד נתגבר אור אחד ניצוץ בערפל נראית ללא קצה דווקא אז הוא מתגלה ואם החול כיסה את הפנים במרום קבוע כוכבים אם העולם שבור לרסיסים יש אור אחד